This podcast episode is dedicated to empowering sensitive people to recognize their trait as sensory intelligence
and bring their unique gifts into service for the crucial roles we play in communities, businesses, and leadership globally. I'm Julie Bieland, sensitivity expert, psychotherapist, and founder of the online Sensitive Empowerment Community.
I'm Willow McIntosh, founder of Inluminance and leader of the High Sensory Intelligence Movement. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, Willow. How are you doing?
Hey, Julie. I'm very well. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm excited about our topic today, and I picked the topic highly sensitive, the trait that evolved as a survival strategy of the population.
Beautiful. I love that.
Such an important thing to be talking about, especially right now, I feel. And I think that it's, I might want to start with thinking about sort of a common misperception that I think a lot of highly sensitive people have, and I certainly used to have it as well, and I'm curious if you had that as well. And what I want to do today is really talk about how incredibly valuable it is to have this trait of high sensitivity, and that it actually did evolve as a survival strategy. And I think a lot of HSPs, because we have are been surrounded by the 80% who don't have this trait, many of us, if we were not supported in the right ways as children, grew up feeling like there was something wrong with being so sensitive. And I really want to sort of teach and advocate that it's the exact opposite to that, that it's in fact a very valuable trait, and we've been talking about why today. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important area, and I completely agree. Yeah, it's almost contradictory, actually, to view the trait of sensitivity as anything but a highly valuable advantage. And I think it's because of the misperception of it when we're younger that's given us this completely false idea of what it is, when the reality is something almost completely the opposite.
Yes, it absolutely is. And I mean, I can even speak from my own experience, and we've shared in other episodes together, just growing up with hearing things like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are you so sensitive? Why is that making you cry? Why are you reacting that way? And I can even remember I had kind of an interesting life growing up. We sort of lived half in Oregon and half in Minnesota. And so in Minnesota, we had this amazing farm life, which I loved because I loved animals and I loved the outdoors. But it also involved the butchering of animals, because that's what you did back then on farms. My dad was much older and grew up in the generation of farming. And I used to have I would be so sad because these were animals that I had raised. Some of them I had bottle fed, and there was nobody there to sort of tell me it was okay to feel the feelings I was having. And they were really strong, and I always felt like there was something wrong with me. It's like, how can I barely handle this? I would cry for hours and just not know how to soothe myself. I felt so deeply. I felt deeper than anybody else around me. And so there was this constant feeling like, and you know, subtle messages from everywhere that there's something wrong with feeling that deeply.
Right. Wow. I really felt that as you were sharing that. I can completely understand how that must have felt for you as a child. And you're absolutely right to say that you were there was, you know, there was nothing wrong with having those feelings. Those feelings were completely justified, because what was happening was traumatic, and especially as a child, we don't understand what's going on. And you know, I really feel that this is such a, this kind of misunderstand, or the people around us not fully understanding how we respond to things, and you know, how we are with the trait as children, is it really is, you know, it really is a culprit in creating this misinterpretation that we have, or this misinterpretation of the value of the trait in later life. You know, and I was, it was interesting, I was recently speaking with a client, and she was talking about when she was growing up, she used to when she was witnessing the conversations in the room with her family, the conversations would come across to, unless the members of her family were talking very deeply about a topic, she wouldn't really know how to engage with it. It was only when her family members were speaking from the heart and being authentic that there was meaning, and then she would kind of engage as a child. And because a lot of the time she was quiet when the conversations weren't kind of authentic or, you know, in that space, she got this idea that her viewpoint wasn't valuable. Right? And then now she's understanding that actually she has this ability to draw the truth from people, help people to identify with their own truth. And that's part of her ability and her skill as with her high sensory skills. And now she's learning just how valuable it is. But unfortunately, there was this misinterpretation.
Oh, I love how you described that. And even when you were validating me and my feelings just now, I was thinking, wow, wouldn't that have been amazing to hear my dad say something like you just said? It was like it felt calming as you were saying it, because there's a need to validate our experience that, yes, we have deep feelings about things, and that's not a bad thing. And I think you and I are on this mission to really shift the thinking about this, that it is a good thing to feel so deeply. It's just that we have to do some things that support us through those feelings. And I know for myself, I was overwhelmed, and I just felt so deeply about everything around me all the time that I remember even having, I had such low self-esteem. I thought that I was thinking there was something wrong with me and that I wasn't smart. And, you know, what it really came down to was just having this layer of overwhelm over me all the time that I couldn't even access cognitive centers. It was like I was constantly activating the emotional centers. And it wasn't until later in life that I realized, I'm like, oh, my brain actually works pretty good. And, you know, and to find myself finally, and that really came from understanding this trait and really getting to know it and understand my brain differences and why I am the way I am, and that there's people that are like me. And what something that really stuck with me was this concept of it really being something that evolved as a survival strategy, because we are absolutely so needed in this world. It's the sensitive people who are, you know, they're just caring so deeply that if you can take care of your sensitive nervous system in an ideal, optimal way, you can, I mean, it's like magic what can be done with the gifts of this trait. And how I'm seeing even now what's going on in the world, I'm seeing so many HSPs step up, and they're starting nonprofits, opening food banks, connecting volunteers. They're being at the supercomputer brain of ours has this ability to sort of fix cracks in the system and find out, you know, what can we do to make this better? And how can we connect these people? And how can we do this over here? And they're the ones that are standing up and really making a difference right now. Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really happening. And it, you know, it's so important that we, you know, kind of support the HSPs that are making this shift and understanding, you know, where we really stand, because it's interesting, and it's frustrating in a sense that we're in this place where we're starting to understand what the trait really means. And unfortunately, many of us have had to come through this place of misinterpretation and misunderstanding. But we're actually evolving now into this awareness that, as you say, this is a genetic personality trait intended by nature that has evolved as a survival strategy. It's been in the part of our genetics for thousands and thousands of years. And it's also a part of 100 species of animals. And when the animals are observed, they've got it together. They make great use of their highly sensitive members of the animals. you know, they've worked it out, but we're still working it out. We're just realizing it's like, oh, hang on a minute. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not a group of people that have weaknesses and a disability. It's the other way around. We have this incredible things to contribute and to give and changes to make and those wonderful examples you've just given. And you know, to think that we're not valuable is a complete contradiction.
Yes, and I want you guys to hear Willow and I say that you are absolutely so valuable, and we hope that in all these episodes that we do together that you really start to feel that. And I know I'm hearing from some listeners, which I love, and I think that this is really resonating with so many of you, and I'm so happy to hear that. And I think it's important that how we share, Willow, that you and I share our stories, and that, you know, we didn't start out in this place that we are right now as entrepreneurs and doing well in our lives and our careers. And that was not how I started. So I was just thinking about that last night, about, you know, if only I could give the message to myself way back, you know, years ago, that was struggling so much in depression and not feeling good enough and struggling with anxiety and feeling like I couldn't handle things. And I wish I could go back and tell her that, you know, these are the things that you could do that could really support you right now. And you know, using those tools and doing the things that we've been talking about, centering work and practicing these healthy boundaries and doing the right kinds of self-care that manage our energy levels. And when you do that, you lift up that layer of overwhelm, and then you get to go down in there and get those gifts. And I know you've talked a lot about this, the HSPs, that as being valuable leaders. And I completely agree with that. I think we work really hard at what we do in a very genuine way, and we really want to help people, and we want to get it right the first time. And I think that we can be incredibly powerful in areas like creating teams and leading by example, and HSPs are often the most respected member of the team because they're so hardworking and so giving, and this ability to, like, you know, say you have a team, say you're a manager and you're an HSP, you could look at each team member and find out, okay, this person has this strength and that person has this strength. And now, you know what, I could put them in these roles, and that would be really powerful. And I think a lot of HSPs don't realize that, because this is just a part of who we are, that these are actually gifts that 80% of the population doesn't even have, these extra abilities.
Yeah. Exactly right. And it's so interesting how recently there was this move into empathic leadership. Empathic leadership became this buzzword. Richard Branson started talking about it. They started realizing that the position of the alpha leader that sort of tells everyone else what to do and sets high kind of goals, you know, there's high kind of like sales targets, and there's a lot of aggression and that kind of like that leadership style, they began to realize that it's outdated and it doesn't support us in the best way. And exactly those pieces you just mentioned there, Julie, you know, we're starting to realize that empathic leadership, which is a very natural part of who we are as HSPs, is that we have this high empathic ability to be able to tune into other people's gifts, how their why aligns with themselves and with the organization that they're working with, how we're able to tune into their feelings and support them and actually be of a platform of support for the people that we're, you know, being a part of the team and creating this container of safety and understanding and recognition. And, you know, that is, you know, not only are all of the kind of the world leaders realizing this, but it's innate in us. And again, to reference the animal kingdom, you know, they've realized that when animals are raised by skilled mothers, they make incredibly effective leaders.
Yeah.
And we very much have that ability.
Yeah. And that shows up in the research too, that highly sensitive children raised by parents that are supportive of this, of the sensitivity that they experience, actually excel more than children without this trait. And that shows up, I mean, that's a huge piece right there. And one of the biggest reasons why this is not a disorder, in fact, because you can do something about the experience of that child growing up in the world. And that excites me that parents can do that. And it's interesting because cultures that value sensitivity, those members of the society often don't have the same low self-esteem issues. And I think that's a huge piece that I find really interesting too, because I do a lot of global work. And when I'm working with someone who is living in a society that that values sensitivity, I really notice the difference, and that they don't have that extra obstacle of self-esteem issues or low self-value because they haven't been getting those messages. And I'm hoping that us talking about this really helps people get the messages that I think it's so important to understand that we have these extra gifts. We can read facial expressions and body language and energies around us, where we can notice patterns that 80% of the population might be missing. And we have this depth of processing, and I like to call it the supercomputer brain. And if somebody shows us how to kind of best use that supercomputer brain and how to care for that, the result of that is incredible. And I know you and I have both seen that in the clients that we work with, and giving them the right kinds of tools and information. It's like, wow, to get to go see them go out and they're starting their own businesses and becoming entrepreneurs and starting nonprofits and doing all these amazing things in the world, that it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think that's where the shift happens, from being in this place of overwhelm and rejection and low self-esteem into becoming in active service, aligned with our gifts. I think where that happens is where we try it out, where we take that little leap of faith, where we make the decision to tune into the advantages that we have, these incredible gifts, you know, the supercomputer, as you say, the high empathy, the visionary abilities, creativity, the intuition that we have. When we actually shift our focus into how those show up in ourselves, and we take these little baby steps in, like, you know, how can I step up as a leader in my life? Is it in my own family? Is it in my local community? Is it in the work that I'm doing? I think it's when we actually consciously choose to be the sensitive advantage, as it's known, rather than the sensitive disadvantage, that I think is where everything does, certainly where everything changed for me. And I think that's the invitation for us.
Yes, beautifully said. And I love the visionary abilities that you talked about. Yeah, and I used to be, I find it so interesting when I am working with clients or students that so many of them talk about how they didn't realize that not everybody, you know, that everybody in the population didn't have those same abilities, because it's hard for us to imagine. It's like, if I can read energies or facial expressions or body language, I'm assuming that everybody can do that in the same way I can. And what's fascinating about that is they can't. And that's actually a good thing to understand, even in your relationships. If you have relationships with people that don't have this trait, they may not be as conscientious and as courteous as you. And oftentimes that comes from a lack of awareness. It's not a lack of wanting to be, it's a lack of, well, they didn't notice something that you noticed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, absolutely. You're 100% right. I think we do. I think we just assume that everyone sees the world in the way that we do, and, you know, has the same feelings and experiences. And the reality is that isn't the case. You know, people aren't witnessing a circumstance or a moment as deeply as we do. They're not picking up the same kind of information. They don't have the subtleties that we have. And again, not to say that we're better in any way, but understanding, you know, that we are different, and just simply embracing that and getting excited about it and thinking, wow, well, you know, how does that show up in me? How can I share that and start to work with it? And so it's almost like when we've been born with these incredible gifts and abilities, but we haven't been shown exactly how to use them. So it's almost like we're diving in and trying it out, and we're playing and seeing how does this work, and sharing it with others, and just getting really interested about how it works for us personally.
Yes, and let's start doing that. Let's start showing how, so we can get more and more people doing that are needed. And something that I think is helpful to talk about too is just this The sense of trusting your instincts. You have such powerful instincts as an HSP with this trait. And I know so many, when I'm working with people, so many doubt, you know, their path. And a lot of times it has to do with the fact that they're trying to fit in the path of somebody else, excuse me, somebody else, and who's doing something similar. And it's like, it's just not quite working for them to do it that way. And I love telling HSPs, do it your way. Follow your instincts. Do what feels right to you, because those instincts are powerful. And if you're taking care of yourself in the way that you need to be to find that balance and centering process within you, then you really get a lot of strong access to an extra amount of information that lets you know how, you know, the instincts and the intuition get really strong when you slow down enough to listen to them. And that is a huge gift right there to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a real source of power for us. It's always really helps me to be focused in the moment and to allow my body to talk to me as much as my head talks to me, and remembering that the truth of me is based in my instincts. And absolutely what you're saying there, you know, when we try to follow others, it doesn't work for us as HSPs. And it probably doesn't work for everyone, but I think for, especially as us, when we try to work in the same way, it definitely shows up in business. I know a lot of clients that are making the shift into becoming entrepreneurs and spend all sorts of money on marketing packages and try to do things in the same way as the 80%. And it doesn't work. We have a very unique and bespoke way of operating in the world, whether it's in business or just simply with our day-to-day activities. But learning to trust that we know at a deep level what that is, I feel, is a huge step for us.
Yeah, definitely. And learning how, I think the more, I know this happened for me, the more I learned about the trait and really understood why I was the way I was, it helped me advocate for myself and my needs more. Did you find that to be true for you too?
Yes, yes. Say that again. That was very interesting what you said there.
Like the concept of advocating for your needs, I think that there often needs to be a shift in certain areas, whether it's, you know, let's just use a company, for example, or sometimes I even think about medical school as an example. Like I remember I used to think about going to medical school, but I thought there's no way that I could handle those, you know, 3-day shifts that they do with no sleep. And, you know, it's like, I just believe that whether it's something like that or in a company that is doing something that works for the 80%, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting and long hours and commutes and all these things, that that's not going to work to optimize the ability of the person with this trait. And so there's a part of me that really wants to see this paradigm shift happen. And I think smart companies and smart organizations will start doing this soon if they aren't already. I know that I've had consultations with some leaders in the field, and it's really exciting to me when that happens, because they are starting to realize that themselves. They're like, oh, maybe I should do this a little differently. Maybe I can't expect this person to be the one that's going to jump into and interrupt everybody in this meeting with their ideas. And instead, what if I can, you know, provide a way for them to share their ideas in another way, like through a one-on-one meeting afterwards, or an email that they're allowed to send. And where I'm going with that is that if we are letting HSPs fall through the cracks in companies, then we're missing out on the gifts that they experience. So I would love to see companies start shifting, you know, to changes. Even open offices, you know, don't work for an HSP. You need to have quiet spaces so that what they're doing is really looking at how can I optimize the experience of this person so that we can really help them release their gifts, which in turn is going to help everyone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it really does. I love how you put that together. It's what you're saying about companies, I agree, it's hugely, hugely important. But what was really interesting in how you began that was being an advocate for our own needs. And actually, having a leader around us who does, who, you know, gives us the opportunity to play to our strengths and gives us the voice that we need and the way to do things. It's almost, it's just as important to give that to ourselves as well. So it's understanding that we do things differently. We have different needs, and that's okay. And as we really embrace that, we can learn where best to put our energy, how long our energy is going to last, what's best to put our tasks to prioritize ourselves, to make sure that the action that we're taking in the world or in our day-to-day lives is really aligned with our strengths and our power, so we can do the best we can.
Yeah, and that's where we have to learn about advocacy for ourselves, whether it's at work or even in our personal lives. Being able to say something like, even to your boss, I work best when. I work best when I can have a quiet place to work, you know, or I can work from home on some of the days, or I can avoid the commute, or in personal life, it might be, I feel best, you know, communicating this to your family or your partner. I feel best when I get to have 2 hours of alone time to myself to process everything I've taken in, to meditate, to rest my sensitive system. So being able to use language that supports that advocacy. And every single time I've guided somebody to do that, they always come back and share how great it is to have the words to use. They often see, because what happens is we tend to overgive in every area of our life. We're overworking, we're overdoing, we're overgiving in general, which is depleting our own energy resources. And when we're doing that, we can't access our gifts. So that makes it such an important thing to make sure you're managing your energy levels and advocating for what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. It really is. It's, you know, it's not a sort of a nice thing to do. It's something that we have to live by. You know, it's, we, I think with the adverse effects of not doing that, really, you know, it leads to burnout. I mean, we end up having to spend, you know, days in bed because we're recovering if we don't get that right. And I, you know, it's learning to make those choices. And as you say, to have the right sample sentences to say to our loved ones and close ones, so they understand, so they don't feel rejected or misunderstood. And yeah, I think that it's a very important step to make. And, you know, I think with this, that's very much indicative of this shift that is happening in the workplace that you mentioned there, and how important it is to recognize our skills in the workplace, because I think that really enhances our understanding of our value. Because it's no good if we're kind of understanding our value of being one person outside of work, but when we go into work, we're kind of hiding and we're not being ourselves, we're not speaking up, we're not sharing the amazing insights that we have. I think there is this real need right now for organizations and businesses all over the world to recognize the resource that's in the workforce. But equally, we have the responsibility as well to help the businesses and organizations to understand the resource they have from our point of view, especially with our abilities in leadership of stepping up in whatever way that we can, and really, you know, helping the world to see the value, which will help us to see our value.
Yes. Oh, so true. I like that you were saying to recognize this resource that's there. and wow, how important that is to understand the resources and value that someone with this trait offers the family, their partner, their children, their work, their community, the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's taking these little baby steps. It's trying it out, and it's having the conversation, and it's speaking up, and, you know, sort of sharing our viewpoint and being seen a little bit more. I think that's, it's visibility and vulnerability in the healthy sense that really makes a difference for us. And we just take that little leap of faith and do what we feel we ought to in that moment by following our instincts. I think it opens so many doors, and we just get this, you know, the world just starts to make sense. Why we're here, the importance of why we're here.
Yeah, and the meaning of why we're here and how important it is. And I think that it has to be done in stages, and it's a process. I know it was for me to be able to get confidence to advocate for my needs. Really had to begin with my own understanding of my needs and understanding, like you were saying, it's not negotiable. I mean, this is a real experience for us. If we are overloaded and overwhelmed and our nervous system is just overloaded, we are not going to access these gifts that we have within us. And so I do believe it's our responsibility to really move in that direction. And as I always say, if you're somebody listening to this right now, you're absolutely doing that. You're trying and you're learning. And that's the process. That's how it starts, is you start learning about the trait. You start spending time with people who have the trait. You listen to podcasts like this, for example, that from HSP leaders in the field that are sharing these insights with you. I mean, you're doing that right now just by listening. And that is such a beautiful step, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's an act of self-love by listening to these things and researching. And the more that we take, you know, adhere to our needs and listen to our needs, the more we're actually valuing our own self. We're valuing our needs, and we're saying that I am valuable enough to take the care that I need to set the boundaries in my life that I need to, and get the resources that I need to do the research that I need, and make sure that I'm supporting and helping ourselves to blossom and flourish in the best way. I mean, we're like a beautiful tree that's growing. You know, we may be unique and we have wonderful flowers, but we need to be nurtured and understood to maximize that. In it, you know, maximize that kind of that beauty and that purpose that's there. So
yes, I like the orchid story. And for anybody that hasn't heard that, I like to equate people with a trait of high sensitivity to orchids, flowers, and like while orchids might need a special kind of care, they bloom brilliantly when they have the right kind of care, and that is absolutely for anybody that's listening with this trait. Believe us when we say that you can bloom brilliantly in the world, and we need you to. We need you blooming and we need you thriving in the world, and we all need that.
Yeah, we really do. We really, really do. It's, you know, it's more important than I think we realize, you know. And I think it's almost that we will look back at this time. I mean, the trait was only really identified in the 90s. Which is a very short period of time ago, actually, for us to fully understand its importance. And I think we will look back at this time of history and think, wow, we did so well to bring the recognition of the trait and to start to awaken us all to its importance. And, you know, I think the more that we can do that personally and globally, the better, and the more it's going to, you know, bring the changes that we are born to bring into the world.
Born to bring into the world. I love that. Oh, this is, I love this episode. Do you want to share anything else, Willow, before we end today?
I think that's it. It's been a wonderful, wonderful conversation as ever.
Love it. Yeah. And that's the thing. It starts with, and what we're really sharing is, it starts with self-care, self-love, taking care of yourself in the way that works for you. Not that works for everybody else, but in the way that works for you. Spending time learning about this trait, spending time with other people with this trait, and getting the information so that you can start to, because as soon as you start caring for yourself in those ways that work for you, you start feeling better. And that's when you can do that self-love work. And I certainly had to do that. I had to learn how to care for myself. I had to learn how to love myself. And it changed my life forever once I did that. And now I can access my gifts to share them with others. And this is what I believe. It's like a domino effect in the world. And I believe that so strongly, that we need you thriving in the world. And I hope that this helped you today as being a step towards that. And I'm excited to imagine what's going to happen in the world the more of you that start doing this, because we need you so much, especially right now. Right, Willow?
Yeah, absolutely. Beautifully said, Julie. Beautifully said.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we hope you've been enjoying our episodes that we're doing, and you're able to listen to some of the past ones. And hope you share the episodes if they're helpful for you, because I know that they're helping a lot of people. And I hope you're taking really good care of yourself out there in the world. And We look forward to talking with you more in the future on some more wonderful subjects that we'll be having. Willow, it was wonderful talking with you today.
You too, Judy. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye for you.
You can take my free sensitivity quiz and find all my HSP tools and resources at sensitiveconnection.com.
To register for the next masterclass on how to make your shift into high sensory intelligence, visit inluminance.com. Please leave us a voice message if you have a question or comment for us to be included in a future episode. Just click the voice message button in the show notes, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and record up to 60 seconds. We love hearing from you.
And please share this episode to help others. And take extra good care of yourself out there. Bye-bye, everybody.